We're going to be looking at a few verses from the end of the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. This sort of ties into what we were reading or what we were singing in our first song this evening, I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord. That's a song that we sing in regard to the great tasks that are a part of our Christian lives that God has given to us as servants, workers in His vineyard. And that's a privilege to be one who can have a part in the greatest work in all of the world. And yet it's one that we don't do alone, do we? We don't do alone in a number of ways. And we don't have to rely upon our own resources in a lot of ways. I mean, yes, we have to have studied the Word of God so that we can teach people. We have to have a willingness to work. There are things like that. But at the same time, we have a helper who helps us. And we have a family who we work together with. We're not alone necessarily when we do the work of the Lord. So here in Philippians chapter 4, we begin reading in verse 10. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." So Paul speaks here. What he's referencing is the assistance that came to him from the church in Philippi. And these brethren cared about him, and they were glad to help. And in this particular context that he's speaking of here, he was glad to receive it and was encouraged by it. He rejoiced that their care, what, flourished again. And this is something that ought to be the case with God's people. That, in other words, we're not someone, or we aren't a people that once in a while we work for the Lord, but that our work in His cause is something that is ongoing, that is always happening, and that it is, as he says here, flourishing. It's a picture of something that we see at times when we're doing a good job with our gardens, when things are flourishing. That's a good sign. God sees that too in our lives when we are doing His will, feeding upon His word, thinking good thoughts, spiritual thoughts. Our hearts are in heaven instead of focused on earthly things. There's a mindset and there's a way of living that is flourishing spiritually. But oftentimes, what we see, if we honestly look in the mirror, is a life that maybe dabbles in, maybe a little bit of spirituality, maybe not so fervent. Maybe the fires have sort of been put out or quenched and the zeal is not what it used to be. But in their case, Paul is so greatly happy now because they are again showing care in a great manner for him. And he's praising them in regard to this. And yet he says this, verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So Paul here addresses the constant changes that can happen in life. And his life certainly reflected a great deal of change. Because as a servant of the Lord who traveled all over the place to spread the gospel, had to rely sometimes on his own work to support himself. So sometimes he went to places where there weren't strong congregations that had money they could easily help him out with. He didn't at times want to be a burden on churches. So he made his tents and he worked that way. And sometimes it was hard. Sometimes he went without. So he speaks in regard to this, that he learned that it really doesn't matter about all the externals. That's a good mindset to develop, because the externals and the present situation, which may be good, can rapidly change. Things can get hard, and that can happen fairly quickly. But if we have this mindset that we're not so worried about that, because we know who is with us and we know there's stability even when things are changing. It could be health is changing. Financial stability is changing. We're suffering losses of different sorts. It'll be all right, because he says whatever situation he was in, what he learned He didn't always know this, but what he learned was, I need to be content. I need to be content. Be okay with having little, because sometimes I'm abounding. Sometimes things are going great, but sometimes they're not. But whatever state. So he says, I know how to be abased. And he was abased. There were times when you can imagine what would happen to a man who is taken by hostile authorities and he's imprisoned and he is beaten. And on some occasions, as you remember what happened when he had gone to Derbe and Lystra and he's dragged out of the city and he's stoned, he's left for dead. And, you know, probably whatever resources he had, if he had money in his pockets or this sort of thing, when he went back into the city, he didn't have that with him. I mean, just think about what people would do and how people would treat him. Well, sometimes he didn't have much. Sometimes he was lacking. Sometimes he was hungry. And so he says, that's all okay, because look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He looks at the ups and the downs of life. He looks at the times when he's got everything he needs, and he looks at the times when he doesn't have anything. He's lacking. The basic necessities aren't even there. But he says, even in the midst of that, I can persevere because I've got Christ. Through him, I have strength. Through him, I can persevere. And with this mindset and with this truth in our hearts and believing it, we can do the same. Paul was a man. He was human like we're human. He had his ups. He had his downs. We can persevere as well, because the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he relied upon is the one that we rely upon. And as our faith increases and as our understanding of what it is that when things change, we can still have contentment, we can still have stability and security, because, again, we have the Lord with us. We have the Lord with us. And thus, Paul then says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distresses, in my distress. So they had heard of the needs and they responded accordingly. When we're going through hard times, one of the ways that the Lord helps us is through our family in Christ. So we can be encouraged and heartened in the fact that we have people who love us and care for us, and they will be there for us. At the same time, think of it on the flip side. We need to be ready and alert to the times when we need to be there for others and step in and take, use a helping hand to bear burdens and to even at times, people are in need just of a listening ear, because what they're so burdened with is things on the heart and things within that are very, very heavy and hard to bear alone. And so look at what Paul does. His work is tremendous. When we think about one of the greatest workers in the New Testament, it's got to be the Apostle Paul. And he didn't do it by himself, did he? With brethren who helped them, he did this. With the Lord who helped him, he did this. With the mindset and the attitude and the understanding that the Lord gave him, he was able to be a great worker for the Lord, and we can as well. We have work before us every day. We have special work sometimes that might be seasonal. Hey, a gospel meeting is right around the corner. There's a lot to be done to prepare in terms of getting souls in this building to hear the gospel message so that they might be saved, that doors at least might be opened, and then more studies can happen after the gospel meeting is over. You never know what can happen. But it takes workers, doesn't it? And we can work together to do great things. Tonight you may not be yet a part of the workforce of God, because that's a privilege that Christians are blessed with. And thus we need to have the mindset that I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to be in the family of the Lord. I want to be one of God's faithful sons or daughters that work along his side to do his great work. But to get there involves a process that God sets forth in his word. To become a Christian, a person has to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and repent of their past sins. They have to confess their faith in Jesus Christ, acknowledging that belief, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins, having believed what? The truth. If you have believed false teaching, if you have believed denominational doctrine, then what has been sown in your heart is not the pure, uncontaminated thing that can produce a Christian. Therefore, hearing the truth then, along with baptism, brings you into the true church, the family of God, about which you read right here. Before all the confusion changed the religious landscape of the world today in terms of what is often referred to as Christianity. But the clarity is here, right here, and you can obey that simple gospel. If you need to return to the Lord in obedience to your Father because you wandered and you've gone astray, if we can pray for you, strengthen you, be a shoulder to cry on, we'd be glad to help you tonight as we stand and sing.